Can anybody out there hear me? Hear me?
On this team, we fight that itch. On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone else around us to pieces for that itch.
Coming in at 320 kilobytes per second, it's time for Maddie C's Sports. Voice.
What the fuck is up? They ain't touching me for nothing. Gang shit is not my business. I ain't not the one to fuck with.
You've just entered the 15th round with me and Maddie C with our guest Kendrick Peppa Ball. You feel me? How you guys doing tonight, man?
I'm good.
We straight chilling over here, bro.
So Pep, you got a big fight coming up. You feel me? You getting another belt, some more hardware to add to the case. You feel me? Around the waist. You gonna put some pep in someone's step. How you feeling about it, man?
I never really think about the fight until it gets closer. Once I start getting like closer to my weight, then that's when I really start thinking about it. But it's really nothing to me right now. And the belt don't really mean much to me. You know, I just really care about the money, and we ain't even getting paid like that. So to me, it's just another day at work.
So, yo, Kendrick, I mean, you know, you're fighting this guy, Heber Rondon. Like, what do you think about this dude? Do you know any stats about him or anything like that?
I don't really know too much. I just know that he's a lefty. So I always feel like lefties are tricky. But I fought a lefty my last fight. So at this point in my career, I'm supposed to be taking guys like this out. So I'm ready to go in there and just get the job done. Do what I'm supposed to do and ready for, you know, hopefully we get a big call next, right after.
Speaking of big calls, I mean, you got your eye out on anyone, dude? I know me, like, I over here, I watch guys fight, so I'll be like, all right, I see myself fighting him. You got anyone?
To be honest, now that I'm at 175, I always want to go back down to 68, but like, I want to fight Jacobs. I feel like, before when I was at 160, I used to say, I want Triple G. Like, he's on his way out. It's a good time to get him. And then I ended up moving up to 68. Now I'm at 75. But I'll go back down to 68 if I could get a fight with Jacobs. I feel like now he's on his way out, and this will be a good fight. And a good name on my resume.
I definitely agree with that, yo. You definitely going to tap that chin if you fight him.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? What's your training camp, bro? How do you what do you focus on more? Like, me personally, for my training camp, I focus more on strength and conditioning and more like making sure my body is rock hard and solid for everything. Some people, they focus more on like sparring and doing rounds. Mm-hmm. I feel like you don't need to do a lot of sparring to get ready for a fight, as long as you're doing a lot of mitts. You do need sparring to like get used to the punches and everything, but I feel that a lot of sparring is not good for a fighter. What do you feel like, bro?
I like sparring because it imitates the fight. So it makes me feel like so when I get into the fight, I'm like, all right, I've been here. Now I feel like I haven't fought in a long time, or the ring rust is gone. Like that inactivity, I won't feel that inactivity if I got a lot of sparring. I like the sparring, and I need I like the sparring. The sparring is good. Sparring and running is my favorite.
I hate running. I mean, running is good, but I hate running.
I had to learn to love it. That's the only way for me to get the weight down.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I didn't learn to love it, but I learned to be proud of myself when I was done. Like, I I'm not gonna quit. I'm pushing as hard as I can, as hard as I can. When I finally get to the goal and I'm exhausted, it's like, yeah, I did that. All right, I hate that.
I have a hard time to start it, but once I get started, that's when I'm like, all right, yeah, this is cool. Then I started liking it more. Just throw my headphones on and just go.
Facts, facts. Maddie, how do you run, bro?
So I have a flight of stairs, and then so my training camp usually revolves around multiple stairs, whether it be at work or at the house, and then I only run if my kid is running away from me. So I'd say I go about a quarter of a mile. That's about it, a week. But I feel accomplished when I go to bed. It's like, yo, you did a great job by doing what you do.
At least you get the stairs. And the stairs are the worst.
I got the stamina. Like, I don't care what anybody says. When, like athletic or not, when you're carrying a kid, like, with you on your shoulders, give it about an hour or two, you're like this. Like, you're hurting, bro. Like, that's my exercise, and that's my training camp. I let Jalen and you do that work, bro. More power to you guys running those miles and hitting the bag and sparring.
You know what? I'm going to leave the kid chasing to you, bro.
Yo, Uncle Jalen's about to babysit soon.
Yeah.
I'm cool with babysitting, but I can give him back.
Nah, I'm just playing. You'll teach her all the stuff to hit me in the gut. I'm good with that.
Nah, me, Kendrick, yo, we're going to teach him how to, like, be like, all right, yo, he's sleeping, put his hand in the warm water, you feel me?
So, Kendrick, the last I saw you, like, the couple of videos I've seen which you on your you know, Instagram, Facebook, stuff like that, it seems like you're concentrating, like, on the body, and it's like, you're like, those things are like fucking hammers, bro. Like, is that your forte, going toward the body, or is it like a mixture of both?
Yeah, I like going to the body. Edwin Rodriguez, he's somebody that I looked up to a lot, and he's my style mostly came from him, trying to imitate him. He used to go to the body a lot, so that's kind of why I do that. And then plus, you know, a lot of guys, especially like the Mexicans, they'll take headshots all day, but you go to the body, you're gonna wear them down, break them down, and once you catch them with that one shot, boom, it'll be because of the body shot. So that's why I like going to the body. A lot of guys don't really go to the body no more too much.
But it works for you, bro.
Yeah. My dad.
Yeah, you got a good body shot. I've been hit by that. That shit hurt.
My cousin Rashad, he doesn't like, because I throw the jab to the body. And that's like my favorite punch, the little stick to the body. But I learned that from Floyd Mayweather, and it kind of became like a little habit for me.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie though, that's a good range finder, you know what I mean? And on top of it being a good range finder, like, bro, we in the middle of a fight, we in the 6th, 7th round. I'm thinking about to punch me in my face with a jab. I bring my hands up and you hit me right in the stomach. Like, it may not put me down, but it's damn sure gonna have me like, yeah. Take that deep breath. Now I'm second guessing, where's this jab going? Is it going up downstairs? Is it going upstairs? Now I like play with the if I go downstairs, you punch me in the nose. Now I can't breathe out my nose. You know what I mean? That jab, especially going to the body, it sets a lot of stuff up. It's low-key one of my favorite punches too.
Yeah.
For sure. And like I talked with you before, Kendrick, with bringing back to the fight in Mohegan, where is a majority draw. Now, mm-hmm. In my eyes, I was there. Jalen, you were there for a little bit. But, you know, when you were fighting, I saw more of the majority of the fight going to you, and the fact mm-hmm. of talking about your body shot. They were clean. They were crisp. You were working on the outside, going back in. And his punches I saw, and mind you, I'm at a press table, and I can still see that his punches were sliding on you and weren't even affecting your range or your ability. So, I mean, for that, I mean, was that a fight where you were like mad at the situation? Like, I know there was a lot of this person said this person said that. I mean, I was fucking there. Somebody else can watch it on TV and say what they want going to commentators, which I don't agree with. And Jalen kind of taught me that lesson. You can't go off of what a commentator says because you need to watch the fight yourself.
See me, like, I don't, like, if I lost the fight, I don't mind saying it. I don't mind admitting it. There's a lot of fighters that won't admit that they lost a fight when it's clear. Like, I went through the amateurs. I lost my first 9 fights as an amateur. So I experienced that, and I learned to know when I lost, and I accept it. But that fight, I knew I was outboxing him. I knew I won the fight. I wasn't 100%. I could have dominated more, but I wasn't 100%, but I still felt that I won. I was outboxing him. I landed more cleaner punches. And when they didn't give me the win, I was upset, but what can I do? When I went to the back room, there was guys back there saying, you know, that was bullshit. So I already knew, you know, but there's nothing that I could do. I can't, you know, make them change it. So I just had to move on. You know, I won the one right after that in Boston, which was a bigger fight. You know, and then my last fight at Polar Park, which was even a bigger fight. I dominated that. That guy fought a lot of big names, and I dominated him easy. So, you know, you just got to move on and continue to keep growing and learn from your past fights.
Yeah, that Aganis Arena fight was great.
I feel like you definitely came back with a vengeance after the Mohegan Sun fight. Me personally, I didn't get to see the whole fight. I was running really late. I saw the last 3 rounds. And you won the last 3 rounds. You looked it good. Doop, doop, doop. Slipped off in the corner. You know what I mean? And you had your jab working. I feel like this is what people were looking at. The dude was very sturdy. And I feel like people have to understand this too. You moved up to 175 pounds. You feel me? It's not like you've been rocking here the whole time. So, dude, you fighting, they going to be a little bit bigger than you. They're going to be a little bit more sturdy. They're going to be used to getting hit by bigger guys. So, it's going to take you some time to fill out, to find the comfortability of where you are in the weight class. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But as for, like, skill-wise and everything, I feel like, bro, there's nothing he could have did with you. I feel like you're a very, very skilled fighter with a nasty jab and big power. And you got a lot of balls. You don't really care, bro. You sit there and be like, what's up, IP? Get you back. You're right with it. I love how you came right back. Like, you let everyone say whatever they wanted. Came right back, fought an undefeated fighter, whooped that ass. Right after you whooped that ass, came back, you fought another fighter on point, ready to go, then fought a lot of good top competition, whooped that ass. You know what I mean? They can say whatever they want to say about you, but what do you constantly continue to do? Win. And they can say whatever they want to say, but the proof is in the pudding. At the end of the day, you're getting that victory, baby.
Yeah. I was just saying to somebody else, I was like, it was a news reporter. We was talking, and I'm like, I don't know why I haven't got the opportunity to get a big money fight. I'm like, if you think about it, my only loss was in 2018. I haven't lost since then. That's crazy to say. I haven't lost since 2018. I'm 21-1 now. And I haven't got my opportunity. Damn.
5 fucking years.
Yeah. So I just feel like people people don't really like. I feel like people don't pay attention, or they still keep me like on the back burner. They don't really like care too much. And maybe that's just me. That's just how I feel about myself. Cause sometimes I do get humbled, where a lot of people be like, they'll come up to me and they'll recognize me and tell me about myself. And I don't really think about it or realize it. But I do feel like I don't know. Like, they don't want to give me an opportunity. Like, what more do I have to do? I haven't lost in 5 years.
It's upsetting, I mean, because, well, go ahead, Jalen.
All you can do is keep doing what you're doing. You feel me? All you can keep doing is winning, dominating, and moving on to bigger, harder fights, because until you get the big belt around your waist and on your record, people are going to hate. And even after you get that big name or the belt on your record, they're going to continue to hate. It's just, honestly, that's what people do. They're haters.
It's just a battle, like, trying to stay motivated, because we're not getting paid no big money, you know. Me working a job, I get paid more than what I am for the fight. So, you know, it's hard to stay motivated, especially knowing that I've been pro for 7 years and I'm still chasing that big check. So it's just hard. Battle, cutting weight, getting ready for the fight, trying to stay motivated. It's a lot. It's a lot.
It really is, bro. I'm in the same boat. I definitely, like, I understand what you mean. Whenever I got a fight, I got to take time off of work. I got to go buy all the diet food. I got to pay all the gym memberships, gas, and everything. And I got to switch states when I'm training. So it's like I'm going from Connecticut to Mass, from Mass to freaking Rhode Island, all around. It's like, bro, it's expensive. And I feel like people don't really be understanding that it's not just going to the gym. It's a lot more that has to be up with it, and it's just a lot.
Mm-hmm. And that's an amazing stat to me, Kendrick, now that you say 5 years you have not lost a fight. So you think about it, 5 out of the 7 years you've lost one time.
Mm-hmm.
That is crazy amazing right there. Now, I mean, I've told you this bunch of times, like through Instagram or Facebook, like, yo, when is Top Rank giving you a call? And now Showtime just decided to bounce, but like, somebody needs to give the call. I mean, yeah. It's getting to a point where it's like, yeah, we all know who Kendrick Ball is. We love Kendrick Ball. We've seen him fight. We, you know, I'm sure you're proud to, you know, you're having another fight in Worcester now at the Palladium. But I mean, it's like, well, I love Worcester, but I kind of want to go to Madison Square Garden. I kind of want to go to Dubai. Like,
I mean, I've gotten a few calls to go to England for some big, decent money fights. It's just, they've been last minute, where like 7 day notice. And I like I said, it's my fault because I don't maintain my weight or stay around my fight weight. I kind of just blow up. So I am not able to take those 7 day notice fights. So I guess 50-50, my fault and theirs, because I do want a big fight where I can, you know, train for it and prepare and be 100%, you know, and not just have to go in there and shock somebody. But, you know, I guess what I'm gonna have to do. Just stay ready after this one. That's the plan, to stay ready, close to weight, and then hopefully we get a call. Just go in there and shock somebody and show them who I am.
I mean, yes, sir. That's kind of time, honestly, all of us are on at this point. We waiting, if we really waiting for that call, or are we just grinding up. I feel like, me personally, I'm at that point where when I'm in shape, I honestly don't care who they put me in the ring with. So, like, Even on a week's notice, as long as it's ever the weight's at 54 or 47,
mm-hmm.
I'm cool with it. If you want me to fight at 160, you're gonna have to give me a little bit more of a notice. Yeah. Not even the cut weight. I got to bulk up. Yeah.
I tell like a lot of upcoming guys too. Like, they're like, oh, why don't they give me opportunity for fights or put me on these shows? I'm like, they're not gonna give you like a cab driver. Like, you don't have a big name like that, or you're not a big ticket seller. So you kind of got to take a tough fight to kind of prove yourself, make them want to bring you back and, you know, be able to build you up. Cause me coming up, I took a lot of tough fights. Like, 7 days after my second pro fight, I fought on the Showtime card with Kyrie. I fought David Wilson. He was 5-0.
Yeah, and he had a really decent amateur background. He did a lot, yo.
And then when I was 4-0, with one draw, because I got a draw with David Wilson, I fought a kid from Canada. He was 9-0 with 7 knockouts at light heavyweight. So I had moved up 2 weight classes. And when it was like a 4 or 5 day notice, and I jumped in there with him. I believe that was it. I think my first 6 round there or 8 round fight. And I took the opportunity. I got another draw, which I felt I won. But you just got to take opportunities to prove yourself, and that's what I've been doing. So I feel like I've been doing my whole career, just taking tough fights. You just got to prove yourself. So that's what I tell the new upcoming guys. I feel like they're not getting the opportunities. You got to take those fights and prove yourself, because they're not going to just keep giving you guys, you know, tomato cans to build you up. You got to show that you're somebody worth building.
Facts, facts. You feel me? You definitely do. And for all them guys out there that like trying to figure out like what to do and how to like to get to the next step, bro, sometimes, and this is, I think, this is a segue into the next to the next question I'm gonna ask you. Sometimes you just gotta beat down someone else around the way. So this is a message. Michael Gundu, 54. I beat your ass, boy. Anyways, yo. So Kendrick, what match do you want to see in New England? Like, two fighters that you're like, damn, you guys will have a fucking barn burner or a hell of a fight.
You know Esley, right? From mm-hmm. my gym. So I know there was in talks about a fight with him and Hogan. I think that's a good matchup.
That'd be a good fight. I'll fuck with that.
Yeah, that's a good matchup. Even you with Hogan, I feel like that's a good matchup. Or Hogan with what's his name? Christopher. They were going back and forth with each other. Christopher, what is it? Brooker, Cordell? Right? Cordell Booker. Yeah. So I would like to see that.
Yeah, I'd like to see that fight.
I'd love to see that.
I think that's a big one. I got
Cordell on IG too. That's my boy. I've been sparring with him since I was little. So I've been following both like back and forth, but it's like they was talking spicy about Hogan. It was getting kind of lit in them comments. Yeah, so now I'm over here like, all right, come on, Hogan. Like, I'm a fan of you too. These niggas know what it is.
They should have made it happen, because he did fight on Booker fought on a CES card.
Fought on two.
He called Hogan out after, but I don't think they responded back. But I think that would be a good fight. Nice step up fight for Hogan, because he has a name around New England now. So that'll be a good one.
And Cordell got a piece of hardware too. So I mean, like, you get a little piece of hardware out of it and everything. I feel like they're gonna sell tickets. If both the boys sell tickets, it's definitely a main event fight. I could see that. That would be fire. But you know what it is? Cordell is not no slouch, and Francis Hogan is not no slouch. So you're definitely gonna have to, like, you're gonna have to pay them guys.
Yeah, that's another thing. Nobody want to pay no money. But the new thing now is fighters got to cover cover everything now.
Yeah, which is odd. You know what I mean? I feel CES doesn't do that to the crazy extent that a lot of other fighters be doing it. But from where it was in like the early 2000s and like the 90s, how promotion companies used to treat fighters to now, like, it got a little less dirty, mm-hmm. but it got a lot more like, bro, you got to do your shit. And like, eventually we might like throw you a bone. That's kind of how it is with no matter who you sign with. So like, that's why me personally, I just let it be known. Like, bro, I'll fight whoever as long as it makes money and makes sense, throw me in a ring with them. If it don't make no money, I don't really care. I don't want to fight that guy.
So like what you were saying, Kendrick, going back to, you know, you were going to have a fight and it was a 7 day notice fight. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like people don't understand how much dedication it is in the boxing world, MMA world. I've been told like one of the fighters I know went to England and was about to fight somebody on 10 days notice. Now they're thinking of it like he's at middleweight. So he's walking around like that, when in reality, it's not like that. You're not going to fight. You're not going to be at that exact weight all the time. It's not practical. So it's like, I respect your decision being around like, hey, like, bro, 7 days to lose. I don't know. Maybe you where you're at now, you're 10 pounds ahead. Like, bro, how am I going to cut 10 pounds weight right now? That's like crazy.
We're not talking 10. We're talking a little more than that.
I'm being nice to you, bro. I'm being nice.
10 pounds is the allowance you're supposed to go up. Like,
if it was 10, I wouldn't mind it, but we talking more than 10. That's what my issue is.
I go up a good 25 pounds after
how many days said and done. Do you gain the whole thing back?
Well, it depends. All right, so if I make 54, I'll jump up to like 165, 68. You know what I mean?
How many
night,
days?
Like when I fight. When the day of the night of fight, it'll be like 68. You feel me? But if I'm dropping down to 47, when I get back in the ring, like when I'm getting ready to fight, I'm like 170.
No, I mean like, after you fight, right? How many days till you're back at your full walk around weight?
I walk around about 170.
Oh.
I walk, yeah. When I step in the ring, I'm about my walk around weight. I don't, you know what I mean? I make sure I balloon up, I rehydrate good. So like at the very, like I might be at like the mid range 65, 68. That's me being kind of light. And that means I cut a lot of fat out and less water. But I like to get in the ring around like 68, 70, because that's when I feel like I'm good, I'm strong, and I know I'm this is exactly where I need to be at, because my natural body weight is around, like me without training, I'm probably a 180. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't get too big, because I don't eat a lot. I'm more like sugar, 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 and then I'm active.
Bro, active. Yeah. Like a squirrel, bro. I mean, for you both, like, I don't know, like, you guys had different cuts. Every fighter has a different cut, but like, bro, like, after you weigh in and like you're fucking starving, like, what food do you guys go to, bro? Like, do you just eat a steak? You eat like 7 entrees and then a dessert?
I stay
like,
on my diet.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy? Before, I used to just eat everything. I'll go have a pizza, I'll go have some Spanish food.
Wait. You talking about like right after weigh-ins?
Yes, yeah, right after weigh-ins.
I used to eat everything.
Oh, you're bugging.
Now I'll go have pasta, or I'll go have some pho. I love pho, so I'll go eat pho. Then I'll wait, and then I'll go.
Oh, yeah, hold on. What's pho? Pho and them? What's pho?
Yeah, I was about to ask. What's
like,
pho?
What is it? Japanese or Vietnamese? It's like soup.
That's fine.
Oh, okay.
I think I know what you're talking about. Ah, yeah. It got that green shit in it?
Yeah. Like leaves?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know what you're talking about. That shit fire.
Yeah.
Bo show.
So now I'll go have that or some pasta after a weigh-in. But before, like, when I first turned pro, the first few years, I just go nuts. I'll go eat pizza, Spanish food, Burger King, whatever.
Oof. Yeah, he's crazy. I stay on my diet until the next day. After we done fighting, then I start like, I know I pick out, eat pizza and all that shit. But like, honestly, when my diet starts, I have like a cheat day or two, and I have like snack meals. Like I like sugar. So like I'll have like throughout the day, I'll be able to have some gummies or like 4 cookies or whatever. But like, other than that, bro, bison meat, chicken, steak, tuna, and not even a lot of steak because red meat's not good for you. So more like bison meat and chicken and just mad green food, brown rice and white rice. I try to stay away from the bread, but like, that's my breakfast, bro. Like, I like bread in the morning. So I have some toast. You feel me? And then black coffee, no milk, and just the minimum amount of sugar to where it's like, I can drink this, because you know what I mean? I need sugar, but like use just enough to where it's like I can use this, I can drink this, boom, boom. And peanut butter, bro. Peanut butter saves my life when I'm cutting weight. Like when I say like a spoonful of peanut butter, boop, I'm good, because it gives me the sugar, the nutrients, and it gives me the, like, all the, you know what I mean? All the protein that I need from the peanuts and everything. So it makes me feel a lot better. And then, you know, fruits and shit. I stay on my fruits, but like, bro, I hate cutting weight. It's like the worst, man.
That's the worst part. Everything else, I don't mind the training. I don't mind the fighting. It's just the weight cutting.
I'll tell y'all right now, be worried about getting the shits at the weigh-ins, bro. Like eating all that food and fucking having to fight the next day and not fucking pound food like that, bro.
Y'all want a funny story? All right, bro. I had took a fight on like a week's notice because dude that was fighting, he had like one win or some shit. He was one of the there's a gang of Brazilians that literally like roll that troll through New England. And they just opponents. You feel me? So he got mad losses and he was supposed to fight someone, but like dude pulled out due to injury. So they called me. Mind you, I had just fought. So like I hadn't even got back in the gym yet. I had fought like 3 days ago. So I'm pigging out. And this is like I hadn't really got my weight cut like on point yet. I was still like figuring it out. Mm-hmm. So I'm like 180 at this point. They called me. They're like, yo, easy fight. Come get it. Boom, boom. I'm like, shit. So I got a week to cut down to 153 pounds. So cutting. I'm eating fucking ice chips and everything. I'm in the sauna, butt-ass naked, shadow boxing and everything. Finally, I make my weight. I make 154 pounds. No, 153 pounds. Bro, for some reason, this girl that my dad was dating at the time, bro, this little gremlin, she told me that if I drink the naked shake first, it's going to open up my stomach and you'll be able to drink and eat all the food you want. So I'm like, I bet. So I listened to this gremlin. I drink the naked shake. All that thing does is give me the worst shits I've ever had in my life. And mind you, like I start drinking it right after I weigh in. So we're still doing like a press conference. They're still talking and shit. And now I got the shits. Like really, really bad. So I'm sitting at the table. They're trying to talk to me and homie. And I'm over here like, yep.
Okay. Is that what she said? You can eat whatever you want because you're going to shit it out?
I don't know what she meant. All I know is I blew up the bathroom in that restaurant. It was a 30 to 40 minute drive to the hotel. I stopped twice to shit, got in the hotel. Mind you, we are in one room. So it's two beds, the bathroom. It's like, boop, go right in there, tore it up. Bah, 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 bah. The whole room clears out. They're like, we can't even sit in here with you, bro. They're going downstairs. Bro, literally, I can't put nothing solid in my stomach until after I fight. And you know what? I won by first round knockout. But dude was so little. I understood why they caught me. He definitely was like a 123-pound fighter who was just ballooned up to 154 pounds. And like, at first he was trying, but he did something and headbutted me. And I gave him that look like, bro, I'm about to fuck you up. And then he was like, he had that look on his face like, damn, I messed up. And I threw like four or five body shots. And it was over, bro. I cracked the shit out of him. Like, nah. Yo, he dropped. The first thing I did, I didn't even go out my cup. I had one glove on still. I went and shit.
I was going to say, bro, you weren't fighting. You were just trying to get to the bathroom and take a shit. You weren't even caring about that, dude. You had to hit some couple shots and do it.
I was fighting demons in my stomach, bro. Like,
so don't recommend the naked shake.
I don't recommend the nigga shake. Don't ever drink that after a weigh-in. Don't listen to that girl. She's a nutcase. I don't know what's going on with that. She was trying to freaking put me down. That's what happened. She knew it was going to hurt my stomach. Don't ever drink Kendrick, don't ever drink that shake, bro. Y'all got any shit stories? Or am I the only one? I think you're the only one. So, Ken, I got a question for you, dog. All right. So, you are a New England champion. You feel me? So, I asked this to everyone. And now, since you being a New England champion, dog, how would you feel about there having a New England tournament? Because I'm taking all the New England champions for the weight classes, like for light heavyweight, cruiserweight, going all the way down for whatever ones they got and having a tournament. But here's the kicker. So now your promoter pays their own fighter, whatever they want to pay their own fighter. But ticket sales all get thrown into a pot. So everyone's ticket sales, no matter if win or lose, your ticket sales get thrown into a pot. So once you lose, you can't get the ticket sales. The winner of the entire tournament gets everyone's ticket sales from this entire tournament that they've been in, and they get the we're the real New England champion. All your belts don't matter. This is the one that matters. This is the real champ. How do you feel about that? I think that shit would sell mad money.
I think for the upcoming fighters, that's a good idea. But as like for somebody like me, I'm 21-1. It doesn't make sense because me fighting one of these new upcoming guys from New England, it does nothing for me. It doesn't pull my ranking up. I'm not getting no money out of it. So it's just, to me, it's just pointless.
Wait, but hold on. See, now there you would get money out of it. Now think about this.
And plus the New England title doesn't rank you. So to me, that's just a trophy. When I fought for it, it was just morally like when people see, oh, he's fighting for a belt. It was just morally to like make them attract them to get more ticket sales. So to me, it's just a trophy. I don't really care about that belt.
Don't let the belt hear you say that. But I mean, if you think about it, if you could get a payday out of it. That's what I'm saying. A payday out of it. Cause like, all right, bro, I know you sell a shit ton of tickets.
Yeah.
All right. So imagine if you got someone that sells just as many tickets as you.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got someone else that sells about half them tickets. And then good amount. Now you keep winning. Dude that sells as many tickets, you keep winning. Other dude keep winning. The pot gonna go up from like 10,000, 20,000, 15,000.
How'd you go to 20 to 15?
Paid? What are we getting paid in between?
Whatever you and your promotional guy wants to pay you, like they don't pay your opponent, they only got to pay their fighter. So like he has to pay their fighter. The Rivera brothers would pay their fighter. Granite Chin would pay their fighter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And when it gets to the end, the winner gets their fucking the ticket sales. So like if we got $40,000 worth of ticket sales, you just want $40,000.
I think it'll be, like I said, I think it's a good idea for the upcoming guys, but realistically, it won't work because the promoters are not going to pay the fighters what they're asking for, especially for the matchups.
Yeah, yo, that's what we're making everything hard. No one wants to pay no one nothing.
You know that? Yeah, it's just, that's what it is. It's just, why should I sit here and fight a 10-0 guy and get fucking $1,500 for it?
See, but now you have, I look at it like this. Since you got three promotional companies all going together, you feel me? It's not everyone holding the butt, so it's not Rivera's holding everything, they got to pay for everything. It's not Granite Chin having to pay for everything. It's not CS having to pay for everything. So now that it's everyone kind of working together and you're paying your fighter, like, If you can't pay your fighter something decent, like, you know what I mean? It's not even like you got to pay anyone else. You're just paying your fighter. You should be able to pay your fighter something decent.
Let's be honest. We've been signed to promotions, and we didn't get what we felt that we should have got, right?
Yeah, you're right.
It's going to be the same thing. Especially with a tournament like that, their excuse is, oh, well, this is a tournament that's going to build you up. You know, you wait till the end after this. The whole point is to get the recognition. That's the story.
The recognition. The whole point is to get money. That's the whole point. The whole point of this is to get money. At the end of it, there's a prize. It's pretty much like the Ultimate Fighter. At the end of it, we have prize. You get recognition and you get money. You feel me? Yeah. You get a belt. Everyone knows who you are in New England now, and you get some money. That's the whole point of the entire tournament. So if they're not trying to pay no one, they're not trying to, like, at the end of the day, I feel like people think, like, We go into boxing, it's about legacy. It is about legacy. We do want to leave a mark, but we also want the bag. We're not street fighters. We're prize fighters. We're fighting for a prize. You know what I mean? And I feel like nowadays they're not really making that prize. Like
they don't want to pay. If that was the case, they would have been done something like this. And why do you think now they're making fighters cover everything, their opponent, you know, with ticket sales and all that, because they're not trying to pay us. So now we got
That insults me a little bit with that.
I can't do that shit. I don't know. And people,
one of the shows, my opponent cost me 10 grand. I had to sell 10 grand worth of tickets. Then anything I sold after that is what I get a percentage to take to my pocket. So imagine that's crazy.
Yeah, that's an insult to me for you guys.
Hold on. So you had to pay $10,000 to pay for your opponent.
Yeah.
And so after you paid him, did the rest of it all go in your pocket, or you still had to cut promoters out?
I had to. So whatever I sold after I covered my opponent, you get a percentage.
So
from what you sell, that's what they're doing now.
It's fucking that's just crazy to me.
I don't know, crazy. I don't know if it's just me. That's not like I'm gonna keep it a whole buck with you. So I probably ain't gonna be fighting around here because I'll just get my ass in shape and go bet on myself. I know my manager can get me a fight for 10 bands. It's going to be a tough fight, but I'll get in shape and go bet on myself. I'd rather do that than fucking I'm going to go fight for free. That's pretty much what niggas is doing. I'm not going to get punched in my face and cut up and for free. Like, you can't even give me $1,000. You tell me I got to pay for him and pay for you and then pay for myself. And then I got to pay my opponent and I got to pay. And I mean, I got to pay my corner man, my cut man, and hopefully they're cool. And they're like, yo, bro, you don't got to pay me. Like, that's crazy.
That's what all the promoters are doing now. That's like the new wave. It's just fighters got to cover everything now, unless you're getting a big top rank fight or something like that.
Yeah, damn. I feel bad for my fans. They're not gonna see me no time soon around New England. They're gonna see me on TV. I ain't even about to see that. Sucks, because now it's like, all right, someone like me, I ain't even about to try to get a tune-up fight now. Now I'm about to just be like, all right, whatever, let's just get it. We in shape, let's go get it. Cause I believe in my abilities. Like that, and you know what? They fucking up New England boxing.
If you can sell tickets, somewhat it's a win-win because you could walk away with a lot of money. But then when you think about it, like I said, somebody like me, now opponents are going to get really expensive. We're talking 10 grand or more. So now when you think about it, damn, I just sold 10,000 worth of tickets just to cover my opponent. It's like, now I got to focus on selling more. That way I could take money to my pocket. So
that's
morally,
too hard.
Yeah, it's too much. And then I got to focus on trying to get sponsors now just so I can make some money. That's morally what you got to focus on. So now, What my manager says, he says, you know, use this, you know, just don't think about the money. You know, this is just to, you know, build you up and let your ranking go up. Think about your ranking, because in the future, when you get the big call, that's where it's going to all count. And I agree with that. But then at the same time, it's like, I'm struggling too. Like, I just started working again. I haven't worked since December. So it's been tough, especially not making money on these little fights. So it's just a lot of people don't understand. And everybody thinks I'm rich. I don't know why. I'm not rich.
That chain.
You got a nice chain, bro. What's the chain?
But I work construction for that. I work for it. I was making 30, 35 an hour. So I broke my back.
I feel you. But that chain look crispy. It's a KB the whole nine.
Yeah,
like,
that thing
bro,
is dope, man. That thing is dope.
That's someone's house.
my dad yelled at me for it. He was mad.
My dad yelled at me because you got that. I didn't even have nothing to do with it. Yo, but I'm not gonna lie though. That shit crispy. That shit crispy. It's crispy as hell.
My favorite purchase.
I don't blame you. Shit, bro. That shit look dope. Bro. Oh, he wearing it.
Not always got to
wear it, bro. It's cold outside. It don't matter. He wearing that shit.
Bro, you always need your ice on your neck when it's cold outside. You feel me? So,
yeah.
My bad, man. You go.
So, I mean, you're fighting for the United States Boxing Federation title, you know, and it's a good way to close out the year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're on to bigger, better things. You're going to have a new game plan for the year. I mean, Shit, you're ranked 80 in the fucking world. You're ranked 13 in the world. What, like you said, what the fuck is it going to take for Kendrick Ball to be on a goddamn huge card and be put on the bet slips with DraftKings, and then I bet with you? So, like, bro, when is this shit? Like, when's the time?
I hopefully after this one, my dad told me to get ranked, you got to do a 10-rounder. So when I fought Mike Guy, the dude on the steroids,
yeah,
you know, that was a 10-round fight, and that's the reason why I got ranked.
That nigga looked like a pig.
14 in the U.S.
So yeah.
This fight right now is going to be a 10-rounder, so it's going to rank me. So I'll get ranked again. So hopefully after this one, we're going to get another call. I just really got to just stay ready, because now I know that the calls are coming. I just got to stay ready. So it's on me now. Just don't let myself blow up and wait, and just wait for the call.
Tell your uncle he owes me a shirt. I've been waiting since that fight to get a fucking shirt.
My uncle. He owes you a KB shirt?
Yeah. I've been waiting for that for 3 years.
For real? What size are you?
XL.
All right, I'm going to try and get one for you.
That's funny.
I'll always remember. He's like, "Yo, I'll get you a KB shirt." Wait a minute, and he never came back.
What do you look like?
Big dude.
My cousin Rashad.
Oh, I thought it was your uncle. My bad.
It had to be my cousin Rashad.
Rashad, funny as hell.
He was funny.
I'll be right back, guys. I'm gonna make sure I get you a shirt, extra large, right?
Yeah, we'll be there, right, Jen? We going to that shit, right?
Hell yeah, bro. You feel me? I was at the last, yo, bro. I be showing up late. I be getting mad because I be going to the fights. I either show up right after your fight or like during the last like round or two. And yo, it don't ever fail. Every time I walk in, like, damn, why is Kim Ball fighting now?
which was the last one that you went to?
I went to I was supposed to go to the Boston one. Bro, but my ride flaked on me. Like, dressed and everything, ready to go, and my ride flaked on me. I bought tickets and everything. So, like, I just was just sitting there like, damn, not going.
You missed the Polar Park one.
I bought tickets to the Polar Park one, but I knew I wasn't going to be able to go. I just bought tickets to show love. My girl was having surgery.
I missed that one, too. I missed the Polar Park one.
The Mohegan Sun one, I pre-gamed a little too hard and was late.
I was at the table, man, front and center.
Yeah, that was a good night.
The thing that aggravated me was the other people who were doing the media were not even doing media. They were eating fucking popcorn and Coke. Like, I'm all serious and shit. I'm like, bro, this is stupid right here. But
you know what?
Thank that company for that one.
Kendrick be at all the fights, like all the fights, and I didn't notice that until I fought in Hartford, and fucking, you popped up. I didn't even see you, but you just popped up with taking mad pictures with like a whole bunch of my cousins and shit, and I was like, they're like, yo, we got a picture with Kim Ball. I was like, bro, I didn't even see him here, bro. Matter of fact, six of my fights, he was there. I didn't even see homie. He over here taking pictures. I'm like, bro, how you took a picture of my little brother?
Because he's got the KB, bro. The KB is, that's where he's at, bro. Whatever's simmering in the crowd, that's Kendrick right there.
Yeah, but yeah, low key, he always showing love. He had all the fights, bro. Like, that's something, like, me personally, I go to as much fights as I can, but like, I be working a lot, so like, and I be tired. So if it's like a decent, either I got the day off or like, all right, bro, you ain't have to do too much today, then I'm going to the fights. But like, you there, just, you always showing love, bro.
Because I like watching fights. So like, usually when there's fights coming around, I have a fight coming up. So I like to go, so to get me hyped up and kind of motivate me going into my fight.
That That Aganis Arena fight, I'll never forget. You, after you just won, that fucking wall was like 10 feet high and you still fucking jumped it and you got into the crowd to show love. And I'm like, Peppa, and then I texted you like, that was you. And then you looked at me like, that was you, right? I was like, yeah, bro.
You look different. I remember that.
Yo, my favorite fight is when we both fought at the Palladium. It was my first fight with CES. And it was your first fight back at home in like a minute.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hey, yo, I was nervous. I was a little nervous, but like, you know me, I talk shit. So like, it is what it is. Like, no matter if I'm talking my nerves out. He was always just calm, cool, collected. And I had to be like, yo, you ready? He gave me a look like, yeah. Walk down there. Why you not hold me out in like 30 seconds, yo, 40 seconds? And it was one of them Ali punches too. Like, he tried to dip down. He was like, bop. Like, nah, it was over and done with. And bro, I literally had the toughest fight of my career that night. That African dude, bro, that boy could punch. And I was not expecting that power he hit me with. He only had it for that first round, but he knocked one of my dreadlocks out. Shit.
That's how a lot of them are. They're good for one round. Those are the ones you got to be careful about because you will never least expect it and boom.
Yes, I learned a lot from that fight. No more weight. Like, dude had like, he was 165. I was like 153. I ain't doing that no more. You ain't getting no 10 pounds on me. You ain't getting no 15 pounds on me. That's crazy. Never again.
There's this dude I fought in Worcester at the Palladium. They were having a hard time finding me an opponent. So I was like going on BoxRec looking myself. And I was like, you know, people in Worcester, they, as long as you look the part, they go crazy. This dude was jacked. He had videos doing all types of dips and stuff at the park. I think he's like Colombian or something.
And but he had a decent record.
He was also a model. He had a lot of fights. So I had sent it to them, and it was like, oh, yeah, he took the fight. And he was mad jack. He came out. He caught me with a right hand. I was like, oh, shit. But I ended up dropping him like 7 times, but he kept getting up. And I looked at the ref. I'm like, what the hell, bro? Stop the fight.
What? He kept getting up.
That's the first time I've ever been tired. Of like, I dropped him 7 times. I'm like, bro, like, I'm tired already. Like, just stop it.
Did you pull a Lomachenko like in your corner? Like,
yeah, I was go, like, bro. I went when I was in the corner waiting for him to get up. I was like, damn, I really got to go back out there. Because one time I think it was the fourth time I dropped him, he laid down like he died. Then all of a sudden he popped up like he rose from the dead. I was like, oh, this guy is just playing games.
It That's is annoying.
But he was mad strong though.
I don't know. I can't help it. Like, once I start getting annoyed in the fight, like, I start talking shit. Like, I feel like I fought Mason Dixon, Vinci Dixon, whatever his name is.
He's pretty good. Yeah.
No, but I fought him. And, bro, that day, I don't know. I think I cut my weight wrong or something. I was just really, really weak. I didn't have no pop behind nothing, but I felt fast. So I was like, all right, whatever. We about to just go speed for speed. So I'm pepper smacking him like bop, 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 bop. I'm not even hitting him with nothing. I'm just hitting him with the pepper check. Jesus, bang, bang, bang. Yo, homie start talking shit. Me and this dude start going back and forth, going off, just like, yeah, you a bitch. Boom. Yeah, you suck. Boom. Yeah, you ain't even from Philly. You from where they tip cows. Bop. Like, we going back and forth, yo. Talking mad reckless. If it wasn't for him, honestly, if it wasn't for him talking, running his mouth, I definitely wouldn't have won that fight because he amped me up.
So my last fight at the Palladium, when I won my last New England title, that dude, he was talking mad junk to me. He was dancing in front of me and it was making me mad because it was like, I'm whooping your ass. Why are you talking shit to me? And he just keeps going. Now he got the crowd like laughing and stuff. And I'm like, all right, yeah, he's getting out of control. But my dad keeps telling me, don't let him get in your head. Don't play into his game. So I know that's what they try to do. So now when an opponent talks junk to me, I just let it be. Because if I fall into it, I'm going to start fighting all wild, trying to knock him out.
You better than me. I can't help it, yo. I'm a neighborhood kid. You feel me? I come from the lunch tables.
You gotta think about it. If you're whooping it, like, I'm standing there, I'm thinking, I'm like, why is this? I'm clearly whooping your ass in front of everybody, and you're talking junk to me.
You can't get mad. See, this is the thing. I come from the lunch tables. Like, all we did at lunch was run our mouth and talk shit to each other. So, and like the meanest shit we could think of, and then dap up and go back to class. So that's my man's. So ain't nothing you about to say gonna hurt my feelings. But I guarantee you, what I'm saying is gonna piss you off. You gonna be idiot. I be having to yo. My last fight, I was fighting Michael Gundu. I can't stand him.
Michael Gundu.
Yeah, I can't stand him. He liked to run his mouth about me for some reason, even though he got his ass whooped. Beat him down for 3 rounds. There was literally nothing he could do with me because he sucks. Yo.
Hey, a top-ranked boxer doesn't like me, so it's okay.
Yo, he starts talking shit. Like in the middle of the fight, like, you're not doing nothing. Da, 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 da. And I was just like... I started clicking at him. Yo, the referee told me to stop. He yelled at me. I was like, what? You feel me? He talking shit? I'm going to click back at him. I'm being an asshole. Like, he got pissed and ran right into a right hand. Like, nah, bro, you're not going to sit here and try to shake me running your mouth. I do this. You feel me? I'm built like Kendrick Ball. We don't get mad. We even.
So, bro, for my last questions. So, Kendrick. And actually, yep. For you too, Jalen. For 2024, shoot. Realistically, what number is for you guys to fight? Like, how many fights do you see you guys fighting in 2024? Or are you guys going to be Tiger Johnson fighting every month?
I don't mind that. When I used to, with CES, I was fighting every 2 to 3 months. So I was fighting all the time. They had put me at one of the most busiest fighters in New England. I like fighting. The more active I am, the more better I perform going into another fight. I like staying busy.
I don't got an answer for that because I literally have no idea. I could fight 10 times this year. I could fight not once. So don't got an answer until... You feel me? Till they start talking money. Honestly, that's what I'm worried about right now. We talking a decent payday, and I'm not even nothing crazy. We talking a decent payday, something I can be good for a couple months. Boom, boom. I'll jump out and go fight whoever. But if you talking about something that's gonna cost me money for me to have to go do it, I'm good with it. Cause if it's not making me money, it's not making any sense. At the end of the day, we getting too old to be sitting here. Fucking doing everything for free. I'm not going to put money in someone else's pocket and no one's putting money in my pocket. I ain't no hoe. You ain't going to pimp me. Mm-hmm. Hold on. I got my last question for Kendrick. When's the last time you had a hibachi, bro?
You know what's crazy? That was just in my mind. I was going to tell you, we need to go get hibachi.
Bro, I'm down. Hold up, yo. I got a story. I got two stories, but before we leave, yo, bro, last time I seen Kendrick, bro, I had drove up to Worcester to go chill with him. We was gonna go to Hibachi. So mind you, I didn't bring my car. My girl drove me. So we was in her car. So she didn't want to go into the restaurant for some reason. So I go into the restaurant and I'm eating with homie. And he's like, yo, how you get here? I'm like, my girl brought me. And he's like, so she's just gonna sit in the car? And I was like, oh, that's what she wanted to do. He was like, yo, bro, what's wrong with you? Go bring her in here. So I go out and get her. I'm like, nah, Kendrick said you got to come inside. You can't sit in the car. So she comes in the car. I mean, she comes inside. And this dude's like, bro, you giving me, what'd he say? You giving me abuse vibes. And he's like, are you okay? I was like, bro, stop that. That's not funny.
I forgot about that. She really was going to stay in the car the whole time.
Word.
She was just in there chilling, joking around, laughing. And I'm like, how'd you get here? She's in the car the whole time, just sitting. I'm like, that's weird. She got to come inside.
Yo, but it wasn't me. That's how she was. She was like, I don't know. Y'all are supposed to be chilling. I ain't supposed to be here. I was like, you could have came in and ate. Shit. She came in and cost me that bread.
She did eat though, right? She did.
She came in and ordered some shit and everything. And I was like, damn, you would come in and order the most expensive thing on the menu.
Now we had a good time that day. I forgot about that. We got to do that again.
Hell yeah, yo. And then, yo, bro, you remember the Olympic qualifiers?
Yeah, that was us out there. It's the first time we had hibachi.
We discovered hibachi in Philly because of Marvin. And I'm not going to lie, bro, to this day, that's probably my favorite trip and, like, my favorite food. Like, if you ever down to, like, do another trip out there, we need to go hit up them. Damn, I wonder if it's still open, bro. We'd have to find that place. That shit was fire.
Yeah, we was just driving around looking for something, and then boom, it was right there.
We was there every single day. But no fail. We was there every single day. Hey, yeah, yo, Kendrick would not record my fight.
Who, me?
Yeah, your dick.
Because they were recording it there. You know what's crazy? They played me. They played me they on played my
fight. I paid for my fight and didn't get it.
She was like, oh, we weren't recording. We didn't record it. I seen the camera there recording. Like, what are you talking about?
They was live. They wasn't recording. Hey, so listen. Me out there. I didn't ask Kendrick if he wanted me to record his fight. And he didn't ask me to record his fight. And it was the first national fight. So we didn't record it. He looked really good. He did his thing. So the next day, I'm fighting. So I'm like, Kendrick, you can record my fight? Homie looked at me dead in my face and said, nope. I was like, why? He's like, you didn't record my first fight. I'm not recording your fight. I was like, you didn't ask that. Me. He's like, that. I probably asked you, dog. And I was like, all right, whatever, man, whatever. And then he ended up recording it. We only recorded the last round.
Because I like to fuck. This is my first national tour. This fight's going on both rings. I'm like, yo, this is insane. I've never seen this in my life. We had Shakur Stevenson out there with us, Jermaine. There was a lot of dudes out there.
Yo, Boosie was out there.
Who?
Boosie.
Was he?
Boosie Dennis? Yeah, bro.
I didn't know who anybody was. Like, I didn't know who Shakur was. I know everybody was following him around. And at the time, I was like, who the hell is this kid? Why is everybody following him? And until he made the Olympic trials, the Olympic team, and I'm like, oh, shoot, that was Shakur. So now I'd be telling people, like, I was at the Olympic trials with him.
Bro, I'm keeping the band. That year, Teofimo Lopez was there. Fernando Kilbride was there. I know most of the guys in my weight class. I wasn't paying attention to the other weight classes. But, I mean, like, yeah, we had a lot of killers in there. Abraham Nova was there that year. Ortiz, again, Jermaine Ortiz, you feel me? We had a lot of heavy hitters out there that came. And I was like, it's crazy to see, like, where everything went. Like, Paul Crow, freaking, he went from being, I don't know what's going on with him. Last I heard, he got arrested for, like, a jury. No, actually, last I heard, dude that just beat the kid that I want to fight, Maddie, what's dude's name?
That dude had Tucker. A big win, right?
Yeah, dude that just beat Johar Tucker is the guy that just, he beat Crow. So, like,
it was was it the Georgia guy? Not the state. It was the country Georgia. Was it
not
him?
Not him. The dude from Puerto Rico is the one that beat he beat Paul Crow and he beat Dan. I forgot the kid's name. Tucker. Jahar Tucker. I want to fight that kid next. That would be a good fight. I want to see you fight freaking what's dude's name, bro? With all that, with all them tattoos.
Tattoos.
Yeah, yo.
From where?
Puerto Rico.
Berlanga?
Ah, yes. He don't got no tattoos, but yeah, him. That's what I was talking about.
That'll be a good one, yeah.
I think you put him to sleep. I think you're a little too slick for him. I don't think he gonna find you.
I just hope he don't bite me.
Bro, if he bites you, you from the hood. You better bite him back. I headbutt him in his nose. You feel me? Pick him up and slam him on his head. Make him bite the concrete. You
bit somebody, right?
Yeah!
He got suspended, I think, 6 months for that.
I'm not gonna lie, bro. I'm not gonna lie. I'll bite somebody. I'll bite the shit out of somebody. You feel me? I didn't gotten jumped before and bit the hell out of someone's face. You feel me? I'm not about to lie.
Bro.
I will bite you. So I can't even be mad at him. Like, damn, like you really just bit that dude. Like, I mean, Tyson did it. He did it.
Yeah, but he gave the ear back, bro.
That's crazy, yo.
Yo, I just seen that commercial. And man, I got something for you. It's your ear.
The biggest thing is, bro, I want to thank you for coming on the show. You're always a pleasure to be here. I know you're a quiet type, bro, but you're a fucking beast in the ring. So tell everybody how much the tickets are for the Palladium. Tell them they go. Everybody who's a boxing fan, support your favorite boxers. Support Jalen. Support Kendrick. So buy tickets from Kendrick. How much is the prices for you, bro?
I got general admission. It's $40. And then I have mezzanine, which is the first 3 or 4 rows on balcony, but they're leather seats and they sit right over the ring. So that's like the best view. Those are $85. And then I have ringside tickets that are $105.
Okay. And where can everybody follow your activity, like social media wise? Or
you can follow me on Instagram, Kendrick.92, or Facebook, it's Ken Ball.
Word.
I let them know where you can get that merch at.
Oh yeah, that too.
I don't have no merch yet. I'm still figuring it out, figuring some stuff out. I gotta make like a big order and just have it there.
So Kendrick, I'm a chat with you right when we done with this, when we done recording, because I'm putting you on to some game.
All right.
All right, say less. So all right, Maddie, take us away, baby.
All right, everybody. Kendrick Peppa Ball Jr. and Jalen, boxing's favorite boxer.
Hold on. I'm sorry. I'm interrupting you. I killed you. Hold on.
How can you interrupt the ending?
You did not say his name right. You got Peppa. You gotta say it like that. You gotta get raspy.
I got a cold, motherfucker. Come on.
So it should already be raspy. Okay? All right, ready again. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You got it.
Kendrick Peppa Ball Jr. and Jalen, boxing's favorite boxer, Renaud, and Maddie C with a cold, sports. All right, everybody. We'll see you all later. And thank you guys for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Good night, Sadie.
Good night, Sadie.
Thanks for watching Maddie C's Sports. Make sure to follow Maddie C on MattCameron23 on Twitter, MattieC23 on Instagram, and subscribe to Maddie C's Sports on YouTube.
They ain't touching me for nothing. Gang shit is not my business. I ain't not the one to fuck with. I bring the flow with lyrical stamina, rapping a million miles. One point I'm an animal, then I'm a cannibal. Taking my pick and I pounce.